to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison that the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I invite the children to come up. Hi.
He's looking.
Okay. Okay. Do you know what patience is? What is patience? You wait for something. Are you very patient? Are you really patient? Uh-huh. Do you ever have things under your Christmas tree and you just can't wait to open them? Do you have that? Never? I have some things here that we might have to wait for. What would that be a symbol of? A cross of... Yeah, and you know what it's made out of? A palm branch. We have that on. So if I wanted to use this, I have to wait till Palm Sunday, right? And what would this be a symbol of? Easter, right. So I have to wait for Easter, and I have to be patient, right? And... Did you see any Christmas trees or decorations downtown? Yeah. Did you? Aren't they beautiful? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do we have to wait for there? The parade. When's the parade? Yeah. There's parade. Is there a parade next Saturday? Somebody told me there was. So we have to be patient and wait for it, right? Well, this is also a symbol of a chicken egg, right? And what happens if a hen sits on a chicken egg long enough? It incubates it, and what comes out? A chicken? A chick comes out, right? But you have to wait, right? Until it turns into a chicken. Because if you don't, it won't live, right? No, you're right. You know, when I was a little boy, we had some ducks. And one of the duck eggs was cracking. And you could tell that there was a baby duck in there. And I thought, well, I'll help the baby duck out. I didn't want to wait for it to be born by itself. So I helped it out. Guess what? It died. I was so sad because I wasn't patient. I didn't wait. Well, this particular egg doesn't have a chicken in it, does it? But it has something else. A stone. Would you like one?
And there's a friend back there. You want to give her one of those?
Okay.
All right.
Well, let's patiently wait for Christmas, shall we? All right. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into our world, and thank you for giving us patience when we don't have it very well. Amen. One of the first times that Sue and I went overseas to Europe, we were trying to pack bags. We were going to be gone for a month. And we were really debating about how much stuff we could get into our suitcases without each having to carry two of them. And it just seemed like an impossible task. Well, we had a friend who was a contractor who traveled a lot overseas. And we were telling him our dilemma, you know, what do you put in a suitcase? And he said, well, I do it all the time, and I'm able to carry one carry-on with everything that I need. And we asked him if he'd show us how to do it. So he and his wife came over, and we laid out all the stuff we wanted to take, and he went through it, and he said, you really don't need that many clothes. Well, we're going to be gone a month. It's okay, you have to wash along the way, but if you take everything, you're going to need bigger boxes to put them in. So he narrowed down what we could take, and then he showed us how to roll and stuff and put it all together so that in the end, we were able to carry, use one carry-on bag each and made it through a month in Europe. And there were several things in the bag we didn't even need to use. Amazing how you can do it if you really want. But it's so hard to figure out what to take and what not to. And we're in such a hurry as people, aren't we? We're an instant generation where we think we have to have everything just perfect. I've noticed an ad on TV for a certain kind of computer. They had a laptop, but the laptop wasn't fast enough. So now you can get one that's even faster. You know, everything has to be instant. I saw a gag gift once, which was a can that said instant water. Well, I thought, that's strange, instant water. You know, all you have to do is take water. Well, the label on the can said instant water. When thirsty, open the can, it's filled with air. Pour water into the can, and you have instant water. We have to wait, and we have to wait for the things that are coming. And it's hard to stuff so much into our lives to make life complete. And then we realize we didn't need everything we thought we did. In our scripture, one of the things that we learned in our travels, one of the best pieces of advice that our friend gave us was, when you go, don't expect to be in America. Now, we thought that was pretty common sense. I mean, you know, we were going to Germany. We weren't going to America. But as we traveled, we realized that phrase, the ugly Americans, because we met a bunch of them who expected in Germany to be treated like an American, to have the kind of room and space and food and everything else that they had in America. It was a different world. And if you've ever traveled, how many of you have traveled over to Europe? A bunch of you. You know that when you go there, you're going to get that kind of food and in that kind of space and in those kind of places. That's what we expect. And the thing is, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in another country, do as the other people do. Because if you expect to to have everything the way you have it back home, you're going to be sorely disappointed. What are your expectations? I know through this Advent season, I've been talking about how we are on this journey to Christmas and beyond. As you travel with the Lord, what are your expectations for not just Christmas, but beyond, for the day of the Lord? Isaiah, the prophet, in our first reading, is a fantastic traveler with the Lord. Excuse me. He has seen it and he has preached about it for many years. The children of Israel have sinned and done what was evil in God's sight, and God is trying to call them back through Isaiah. Some of them are listening and some of them aren't. The kings kind of think they can do it on their own or make alliances with foreign governments, and they're told they aren't supposed to do that. That they are to trust in the Lord. That if they will trust in the Lord, things will go right. If they don't trust in the Lord, if they keep doing it their way, gardens will be turned into wastelands. The deserts will surround them, and life will not be very pleasant. But if they turn to the Lord, that was in chapter 34, in chapter 35, which we are in today, he says, for those who will turn to the Lord, amazing things will happen. The wilderness will be turned into a garden. Streams will flow in the desert. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. The lame will leap like a deer. And those who can't sing a note in a bushel basket, they'll be able to sing with joy. Well, he doesn't say it exactly like that, but you get the point. So that's what you can look forward to. That's your expectation. But keep in mind what Isaiah has said here. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, and so forth. Because we have a distance between the time when the Messiah comes. This is a description of when the Messiah comes. But it's going to be 400 years before Jesus comes on the scene. And in that time, the Jewish population and religious leaders have built up a picture of the Messiah that is amazing. But one which isn't the one that Isaiah portrays. Their image is of a warrior who's going to come in with a sword. Riding on a white horse and conquer all of their enemies and cast them out. So when Jesus comes on the scene, Jesus doesn't come on a stallion. He comes on a donkey. And he even rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. And now what we find is James, in the book of James, tells these same Christians, be patient as you wait for the Lord to come. Because he is now looking for the Lord to return. Meanwhile, John the Baptist is beginning to lose a little patience. However, remember that John leaped in his mother's womb when Mary came to greet Elizabeth. Remember, it is John the Baptist who baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan and was there when the voice from heaven declared, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." So it almost seems strange. John is now in prison. But this isn't just any prison. This is called the Herodium. The Herodium was the most notorious prison in all of the land. It was a place of torture and torment. A place from which prisoners never came out alive. And John knows his fate. He knows that his days are numbered. And so he calls his disciples because, and that almost seems strange to us, but in many of those prisons, prisoners were not fed anything but stuff most people wouldn't eat and the stuff that would make them sick. If a prisoner wanted to eat, he had to have friends bring food. That's why John's disciples are there. They probably brought food. And now John wants them to know what he already knows. And he asks the question. Go ask Jesus now whether he is the one or there is one to come yet. And so the disciples go to Jesus. Now Jesus, notice Jesus' answer. It's not, yeah, I'm the one. Jesus defines the Messiah. Tell John that the blind are able to see. The deaf can hear. The lame can walk. Lepers are healed. The dead are raised to life. And good news is proclaimed to the poor. All of the marks of the Messiah, everything that they had hoped for, is there in Jesus. And James reminds us again to be patient as we wait for that. Wait for that coming again. Not just at Christmas, but beyond. May we patiently wait for the one who heals the sick, raises the dead, and gives new life to those willing to turn to him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.